Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started with our Bible study time. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brandon Eitzen, member here at Grace Heritage Church, and I've been asked to lead us this morning during our Bible study time. Do not fret. We will finish on time and lunch will be served. So you just must endure about another 40 minutes and then you will get a great, great meal. Okay? Let's begin with prayer and I will then tell you what we're doing this morning. Father, we need help. We need you in all things. We are totally dependent on you for everything that we need, everything that we want to do that's good. We need your help. And we want to not just sit here and go through the motions, have another, you know, few minutes at a church on Sunday morning. We want to be helped. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to be changed. So Holy Spirit, come and work your power in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the Bible study this morning is What Evangelism Is Not, or How Not to Evangelize. And a great deal of this I did about a year ago here at Grace Heritage Church, but many, many points have been changed and modified because there's so much that could be said on this point that I was able to keep about maybe half of the points the same and have about half of them new points. For those of you who do not know, evangelism is an English word that is transliterated. It's taken directly from Greek. Okay, you'll hear Christians talk a lot about gospel, the Christian gospel. And that's just a word, that's a Greek word, and it literally means good news. It's a noun, it means good news. Christians have good news, so we believe. And then there's a verb form of gospel, of good news. And it's this word, evangelize. Share good news. Spread the news. Tell people the good news. Okay? So this Bible study, it's not so much about how not to evangelize. That's just attempt at a cute angle to come at the point. This is about how to evangelize, right? But we just wording it a certain way. Now, before we begin, we have many people who visit our church whom are not Christians, and we're very, very glad that you're here, if that is you. And I hope you don't think, oh my gosh, like this has no relevance to me whatsoever. And, first of all, I'll just respond to that. It will have relevance. There's much, much, much to learn about Christianity and what we believe through talking about evangelism. And even maybe secondly, you go, wait, y'all spend 40 minutes strategizing on how to reach people like me? You strategize on how to talk to people like me? Uh-oh, am I being targeted? And to some degree, the answer is yes, absolutely. Right? But you should not be surprised by that. Hopefully, you feel loved by that. Right? I happen to know, I'm pretty good friends with the main group in Auburn University, that is a group of atheists, and they meet together to discuss things that they believe. Atheists are people who do not believe God exists, right? And they, humanism, secularism, they discuss politics and all sort philosophy, all sorts of different things. And I happen to know that they are going through a book right now on how to help people who believe in God stop believing in God, right? The Atheist Handbook is what it's called, and it's very philosophical in nature. They're meeting this morning. They meet twice a month. I get to go on their Wednesday night meetings once a month. I'm kind of their experiment, I guess. Right? they test on me, and then once a month they also meet on Sunday mornings over at the coffee shop in Opelika, the hipster place. Right? Overall company, right? But I can't make it on Sunday mornings. Okay, so these atheists think what they believe is important enough
to take time to think about and strategize how do we help others see things the way we see it. And friends, if believing nothing is important enough to strategize about, to how to help other people also believe in nothing, then if we believe that there is a God who made us, whom we are accountable to, and we have blown it, but He has made a way, we can know Him at no cost to yourself. A few simple truths you must know and believe and hold dear, and your life is now littered with meaning and purpose and joy, completely irrespective of your circumstances and how much money you have and how good you are at school. We have news that is worth talking about. Okay, and we hope if you don't know it, we want you to know it. And so, yes, we will strategize. People don't want to talk about it. So many people in the world don't want to talk about religion and God and Christianity. And so, we think it's really important to talk about. And because you don't think it's important, often, well, we're going to try our best to help you see why it's important. So we strategize on how to talk to people about the good news. Other good news, it's not so hard to have to strategize about. I mean, imagine that you were the only one who went to the national championship game earlier this year, and Auburn happened to have won. When you got back to Auburn, what would you do? Hey, have you heard? Auburn won. Again. But we did it. All right, that didn't happen. Well, about things like that, that doesn't take much reflection, right? Quite unfortunately, it's less natural for people to want to hear news. But friends, we have news way, way, way better than Auburn won the national championship. Way more important. So we do need to think about it more. And hopefully, I'm not expecting everyone to be able to repeat every point that we cover this morning. But think about yourself, Christians, and errors that we fall into and try to move along in a point or two. Okay? So, lots of things that we should not do in evangelism. Lots of things that evangelism is not. Firstly, evangelism... sharing the good news about Jesus Christ with other people is not reserved for a select group of Christians. Okay? It is not reserved for a select group of Christians. Please open up a copy of God's Word to the book of Acts. This may be the only text we open up and look to today for time's sake, but this one's important enough. Book of Acts. You go kind of, it's about 7/8 the way through your Bible. Right? Right after the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, you get to Romans, Corinthians, you've gone too far. Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to be starting about halfway through verse 1. Okay? Context here is Jesus just recently, very, very recently, has been killed, and then He rose again from the dead, and His people who were followers of Jesus, when He was killed, they ran away, scared, and hid. And then when He rose from dead, Jesus appeared to them, gathered them, unified them again, and He has given them their instructions, saying, "You will be the people who take the news about Me to the whole world." And they've been doing this. It's been beginning, okay? It's been beginning, and there is bad response. People don't like it. People do not like Christians sharing this message. All right, and here's the description of this. Chapter 8, verse 1. "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." The apostles being the leaders of the church, the 12 main leaders of the church. They were not scattered. "Devout men buried Stephen," one of the Christians who was killed, "and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." We'll just end it right there. Those who were scattered outside of Jerusalem because of persecution, went about preaching the word, evangelizing. Who was scattered? All the Christians except the apostles, except the church leaders, except the most gifted. Okay? The normal, everyday, ordinary, me and you Christians are the ones who went about spreading the word, the news. Evangelism is not reserved for a select group of Christians. There are many other texts, we will skip them. Leave that open, though. We'll come back to it in a second. Secondly, evangelism isn't, quote, preaching the gospel continuously and, when necessary, using words. This is a very famous phrase in at least English-speaking church. Preach the gospel continuously and, when necessary, use words. It's historically ascribed to Francis Assisi, though no one's actually ever been able to find where he wrote it. This is a very true statement. You should preach the gospel continuously and, when necessary, use words. But it's kind of like saying, hey, when you eat chicken, you should cook it, and when necessary, use a heating source. Right? It's an obvious statement. We must always speak when sharing the news. It's news. There's no news section. You don't turn on Fox or CNN and just watch pictures. Someone talks. There is no picture newspaper. There are some pictures in it. Those are helpful. But it's words. We share words. If you open up to any chapter in the book of Acts, after chapter 1, 2 through 28, just take your pencil, read through Acts, and circle, and they said, and they went about talking, and they went and disputed, and they went and proclaimed. 100 times, at least in Acts, it says something about them talking. We spread the news through talking. Usually the quote is most often used as an excuse to not say anything. That's how it's most often used. I don't feel comfortable talking about it. They don't want to hear it. So I'm going to preach the gospel continually and only use words when necessary. It is always necessary. It's always necessary. Okay, thirdly, evangelism is not preaching. Evangelism is not preaching. Of course, preaching can be evangelism. But when you hear the word preaching, you think of someone, one person, standing up to a group and talking. Someone like this. Right, this is kind of like preaching, and there's one main Greek word that's translated preaching, and there are some others that could also be translated preaching as well. Evangelism is not one of them, but yet most English translations put it there, and I don't know why. Okay, the word in Acts. Chapter 8, verse 4, they went about preaching the word, is not kerygma. It is not angelo. I don't know how to pronounce these words. Okay, I just read them. The message, an announcer's message, kerygma is a proclamation. There's another one that means to celebrate. 1 Peter, you were called out of darkness into his marvelous light that you may proclaim the excellencies of him, right? That those three words all have an idea of I talk, I announce, I'm loud, and you listen, and many hear. It's very simply, it just means share the news, spread the news. Maybe it's an announcement, maybe it's a heralding, but maybe it's just a, hey man, did you know? Did you see the game last night? Dayton didn't make it, right? You know, so we just, it's a talking. And I'm not sure why English translations normally translate it preaching. 1 Peter has several places where the ESV translates it preaching. And the word is just good news then. Gospelize. That's it. So, I think that's really important because I think we have the impression that if I'm going to evangelize, then I've got to get up there and get a crowd. that I got to talk a long time while someone listens to me. No, no. Just tell them like you would anything else about your day, right? Or anything else that you care about and are passionate about. Hey. Absolutely.
When we're just talking about our day and we say, God has been good to help me, maybe we say, we make some statements about God, and people in the South generally will just say, yeah, me too. That's I heard somebody last night on a news report say, God's never failed me. But there was no indication that they were a Christian. It's just right. Cultural speak. So how would you think is a good way to sort of pop that?
I think
similarity.
A point I'll get to later, we'll bring that more, but let me go ahead and address it some. So in Alabama, in the United States, many people would claim to be a Christian. Many people, even if they wouldn't claim to be a Christian, would claim to believe in God. But Christianity is so important, the influence of American culture, that the vocabulary, the words that we have, all sound very Christian. And maybe even some people think, I not only use the vocabulary, but I really believe it. I really believe that God helps me, or I think they do. I find it helpful to ask questions, right? So I say, man, I'm so thankful. God's just been so kind to me recently. And they say, yeah, me too. But you have the impression, based on some other experience, you go, I don't have good reason to believe they're Christians. So maybe you say, really? Well, tell me how he's been kind to you recently. I think it's very simple. I don't know how to take it much further than that. But the big implication is, could you answer the question? Or is it just broad Christian jargon? Oh, thank you, God. For what? You know, can we answer it as well? Because if we know him, we ought to be able to, and they ought to as well. And if they stumble, well, I don't really know the words, it's tough. Like saying, well, I'm really thankful for my wife. I'm glad to have her. Why? Oh, it's hard to think of specifics, really. I don't know. You know, how honoring is that to her? You would question how close we were, right? And so when someone else, and I would say that to them, if they can't really answer the question, I might say, what would you think if I couldn't really elaborate on how God helps me, something like that. So I don't know if that begins to answer it some. Yeah? Okay. Thank you. Good question. Please do interrupt. All right. So many points on here, and it doesn't really matter how many we get through. I don't think. Evangelism is not formulaic. There are not some set of rules at which that you are responsible to follow, and that's evangelism. Okay, there are many, for those of you who have grown up in evangelistic churches, there are many methods out there, many, many, many methods. And these often are very helpful. They are great tools. But they are not rules. They are not mandatory. There is not one that is necessarily much better than another, especially for all circumstances. They are tools, and they can be very helpful. Jesus had tons of different ways of talking about the gospel and interacting with people. Tons. Various aspects of the gospel, various aspects of who he was and why he came were brought up in different aspects at different times.
Are you going to speak on a different topic? There's tons of methods, you know, and where's the caution of, but this method is not valid or useful or good? Do you have any quick tips?
No. I only know of two or three, and I like them. The Way of the Master is a great tool. It's a great method. The main problem with it is its name, the way of the Master, the way of Jesus. You know, a way of the Master would be a great title for this method. It is not the way. They have two texts they apply to and say, look, this is how Jesus did it. Yeah, in these two instances, he did it that way. And then in all these others, he said other things. So I don't know exactly. I mean, does it share, maybe this helps, does it share some aspect of the gospel? The gospel, the good news. There are so, it is so wide. God has done so many things for us. And what aspect of this conversation maybe lends itself to one of those aspects of the gospel? Or maybe something I know about them, right? We're guilty, but God acquits us. He forgives us. We're horribly wicked people, but He's the one who makes us righteous. We deserve punishment, but He's taken it for us. We're slaves to sinful desires, but He sets us free. We're broken, we're corrupted, but He fixes us and He heals us. We're alienated and lost, but He adopts us and brings us home. We're dying, He gives us eternal life, and we have nothing that satisfies us, but He gives us Himself. Etc. Okay? And if I just say only one aspect of that, you're saying, oh, you failed to evangelize. All right. If it doesn't talk about God, if it doesn't talk about your condition, your state, who you are as a human being, if it doesn't talk about what He's done for us, then I guess that's a bad method. You know, but I don't know of one personally. Just because some aspects of the gospel are more foundational to others, it doesn't mean that that's always the temporal order in which we come to understand them. Right? The most foundational aspect of mathematics are the seven axioms of real numbers. Is that where six-year-olds begin? Or do they just learn 2 + 3 = 5? And then after many, many, many years, maybe a few people learn about the axioms that underlie. I can show you an author who's written 4 books, 4 volumes on 1 + 1 = 2. Right? There are many realities that are down deep of what God has done for us. But we don't always begin that way. Right? So, all right. So there are 2 big implications of this. You haven't necessarily succeeded in evangelism just because you got the data out there. All right, I said the formula, boom, done. God, man, got to evangelize, yeah. Or, vice versa, you haven't necessarily failed because you didn't get to say everything you wish you could have. Okay? Lots of, this one, evangelism is not formulaic, will come up in many of these others as well. Nextly, evangelism is not done once we have finished explaining justification. Justification is the Christian doctrine of how God not only forgives us of our wickedness and our guilt and lets us go, but we are now made right. It's not only that we didn't commit the crime, but it's as if we were the most upright, the most popular, loved citizen in the community. That's not the emphasis here. When I say evangelism is not done once we have finished explaining facts, I mean evangelism is only done when a person responds in faith and repentance. That's when evangelism is done. Okay? And I have 3 kind of problems in mind under this one. Firstly, the lazy formulaic. I've said blank, so my job's done. People are far too quick to start talking about, well, get time to kick off the dust off my sandals, right? I told them, they didn't receive it, so I'm out of here. That's a biblical principle that is to be applied sometimes, but we are often quick to do so. Jesus talks about, don't cast your pearls before the swine. And I don't know of anyone who uses that in any other way except to say, you know, oh, well, these people, they're not going to accept these glorious truths, so I'm not going to tell them about them. Go read that in context. I have no clue where that application comes from. Maybe it applies, but the context of that passage, it's very confusing. I don't know what it means. Maybe it's an application of it. But we, again, even if it is, we're very quick. I told them, and I'm done. Okay? There are many qualifications we can make on that point, but when we're evangelizing too much, then we'll worry about those. Second type of problem under this one is those who don't expect conversions. We don't expect that people we talk to about Jesus will actually believe. We don't believe that the gospel is the power of salvation. And we have an expectation that I'm going to go and I'm going to tell people, and I'm going to tell people, and God has elected some. Some will respond with faith and repentance. And it's like prayer. You don't ask with... Again, it's not simple, but this fact is true. If you do not ask expectantly in prayer, you will not receive. The Bible says that several times. And it's the same way in evangelism. What is evangelism other than praying in the moment that this person would be saved? And if you're not expected that, it's actually possible. God might in fact do it. He's not likely to. Thirdly, the confessional rationalist. The confessional rationalist. Those who answer questions about evangelism. How should we evangelize? What are the right things to do and not to do in evangelism? By so-called deductions from a handful of doctrines rather than going back to Scripture itself. The new birth is outside of our control. This is what God does. So we just explain the aspects of the gospel and we're done. We don't call people to actually follow him and to respond. I know this is a controversial point, so with controversial point, you quote other people, right? It's somewhat long, but it's good. This is from Charles Spurgeon. All right, got a few in here from him. We are aiming in evangelism. We are aiming at a miracle. It is well to settle that at the commencement. Some brethren think that they ought to lower their note to the spiritual ability of the hearer. But this is a mistake. According to these brethren, these people, you ought not to exhort a man to repent and believe unless you believe that he can of himself repent and believe. My reply is a confession. I command men in the name of Jesus to repent and believe the gospel, though I know they can do nothing of the kind apart from the grace of God. For I am not sent to work according to what my private reason might suggest, but according to the orders of my Lord and Master. Ours is the miraculous method, which comes of the endowment of the Spirit of God, who bids his ministers perform wonders in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We are sent to say to blind eyes, see, to deaf ears, hear, to dead hearts, live. Dare we do this? We shall be wise to begin with the conviction that we are utterly powerless. For this, unless our Master has sent us and is with us. But if he that sent us is with us, all things are possible to him that believeth. O Christian, if thou art about to stand up to see what thou canst do, it will be thy wisdom to sit down speedily. But if thou standest up to prove what thine almighty Lord and Master can do through thee, then infinite possibilities lie about thee. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let all those who hear say, come. Come without money and buy. Revelation 22:17. The Bride says, come. So, we're not done once we've explained facts about justification and propitiation. Evangelism is not merely relaying of facts. And what I have in mind here, it's not, we are not just appealing to the mind. Okay, this is a common statement in some of our circles. We are appealing to people, whole persons, all of them. And if you take nothing else away, just take that. We just appeal to the person. Heart, mind, soul, spirit. I'm going to say here, because Spurgeon does, I'm going to distinguish between the mind and the feelings. We are to try to impress the facts on them so that they may feel it. A purely teaching ministry, which should always appeal to the understanding and should leave the emotions untouched, would certainly be a limping ministry. Having no feelings himself, such a preacher creates none. And people sit and listen while he keeps to dry, lifeless statements until they come to value him for being sound. And they themselves come to be sound too. And I need not add sound asleep also, whatever I believe or do not believe, the command to love my neighbor as myself still retains its claim upon me, and God forbid that any views or opinions should so contract my soul and harden my heart as to make me forget this law of love. A sinner has a heart as well as a head. A sinner has emotions as well as thoughts, and we must appeal to both. Illustrations, explanations, anything that help impress. This is serious. It's really serious. And it's really good news. Communication as human beings is so much more than just intellectual. And whatever it takes, we do it constantly. And you don't even notice it. We do it about everything else except that which is most important. Time's sake, move on. Evangelism is not indifferent to how we do. What I have here is that there's an attitude, and it's a half-truth. It's a very important half-truth, but half nonetheless. Well, you know, I didn't really know what they were talking about. I couldn't really answer any of their questions, and, oh, man, I didn't really explain that well at all. And, you know, now that I think about it, I kind of came off like a jerk. But you know, well, God, you know, it's not up to us. God saves. Guys, we mess up. There are things we shouldn't say. There are some things we shouldn't say. There are some things we should say that we don't. And what did you say this morning at the end? We say things that are true, but it's how we say them. Help me. What was it? So important. Yes, we may be right. We may have gotten it right, but we didn't say it in the right way. That could be what happened. Yes, God can and does use anything. Spurgeon again. This is short. One sentence. There are sermons of such a kind, or I may add evangelistic conversations, that unless God takes to ripening wheat by means of snow and ice, and begins to illuminate the world by means of fogs and clouds, he cannot save souls under them. Amen? Yeah? God, could he use a fog or a cloud to illumine the world? I guess so. But that's not how he made things. Right? Yes, there's so much grace. There is so much grace. We're gonna mess up. And we're not to beat ourselves up about that. But that doesn't mean you're indifferent. Not wallowing in guilt and shame and remorse does not equal being indifferent. Just like your sin. Okay? There is forgiveness. God has taken care of all of it on the cross. So be flippant about it. Who cares? Let's sin so there will be more and more grace. By no means. By no means. The atheists are meeting to talk about how to be better. You can't call it evangelism. There's no good news. What's bad news? Who speaks Greek? What is that word? Right? They are meeting together to try to be better at communicating atheism. Do we not walk away and try to do it ourselves? Do we not think in the off time, how can I say it better? My wife just said to me recently, she said, paraphrased, man, the only reason people wouldn't care about apologetics is if they're not doing evangelism. Apologetics, trying to understand the faith better and how to communicate it better, being able to answer difficult questions. The only way you couldn't care about it is if you're not doing evangelism. Let's see, 2 weeks ago, the question is, so Jesus is God? Yeah, that's right, Jesus is God. And Jesus died? Yeah, that's right. So God died? No, Jesus is man also. The man Jesus died. God didn't really die. There's three, right? Father's God, yeah, that's right. The Spirit's God, yeah, that's right. So the Father died? No, that definitely isn't true, right? Historic Christian. I'm not saying we have all the answers, but wow, that's important. It's hard. And then last week is, so Jesus takes care. So all the consequences you deserve for the wrong you did, he took care of them himself.
Yeah, that's right.
But like, so, I mean, would you, when this kid messes up, would you punish this kid instead?
Well, no.
I mean, right, because you don't learn, right, unless you take the punishment for what you did wrong. Yeah, that's kind of true. I get that. So how is it that Jesus can die for you? That's a great question. You know, let me think about that some more. I'll get back to you. Right? There's something about the analogies wrong. Right? And how do I communicate that? Now, I'm not saying, another point is here, I'll just go ahead and jump to it. Evangelism is not having all the answers. Okay? But these things coincide. Right? I trust God who's going to help me. And I walk away from conversations and I go, I care about that person and I care about the gospel myself. I want to understand it better. Wow, I didn't realize, God, I didn't understand you as well as I thought. The Trinity's even more confusing than I thought. What do you know? I thought it was easy. One God, three persons, no problem. What do you mean no problem? So, anyways, we're not indifferent to how we do. You have elders, ask them. Pastor Paul will answer those questions for you, right? By the way, we need to talk later. All right. I think I've hit that one pretty hard.
Brandon,
yes, sir, please.
Just to kind of reinforce that statement, I think, you know, not all of us are gifted at articulating and thinking through these things as much as others. And so it's just really important, I think, that we be able to do this with fellowship of other people and say, you know, I don't think I can answer that question very well, but I know a guy named Brandon who can.
We'll introduce Brandon Elliott is a member of this church. We'll introduce you to him later. Right?
Or I've got a really good book that helps explain that, but I don't think I can say it off the top of my head very well, but I could give you this book
to
help with that.
Thank you. Great. Excellent point. Thank you, Dr. Reeves. Excellent. Yes, sir. Hey, Joseph.
Just kind of a follow-up on what you said. Maybe you could say you could go home and take the time to think about it and find some resources and email them.
Mm-hmm.
That really even shows that you really care. This is really important to you.
Yes.
And then going back a little bit, and this is related to how, like, let's say you say something wrong.
Mm. And that so overlaps, that's a great example of what I'm talking about in terms of other ways of impressing the gospel on people. How well that's communicating aspects of the gospel by showing it lived out. I mean, that's some of what that quote earlier was getting at and stuff. So thank you, Joseph. Great points. Hey. No. That's the truth behind this is of God, right? When we say, okay, we don't just leave it up to God, I'm not going to care about how I do, Well, we also don't forget it is all of God, and a huge way to do that is through prayer. Eugene.
Yeah, can you speak to like the difference of being intentional? Not that you shouldn't be intentional, but the going out specifically for evangelism and you know, where you happen to be. I'm not saying both should be done.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Yes, I can. Let me pause it, though, and see how time goes. And if I don't touch it much, sit at lunch. Yeah. All right. I have 5 minutes, and I'm going to do three of the most important points. All right. This first one would be long if it were not for the first part under it. Evangelism is not an event or a single conversation. In parentheses, and rarely conversion is also. Very rarely. Okay. This is very much related to the formulaic approach. Think about sharing the whole gospel. And first of all, there aren't many commands to evangelize in the scriptures. The main missional statements given in the book of Matthew, book of Luke, John, and Acts are we're sent out to make disciples. All right? And Matthew's the very famous one, teaching them everything I've commanded you. Right? So really, that's the vision we ultimately have in our mind. Okay? And that takes a long time. I haven't learned everything that Jesus commanded. But when it comes to sharing the gospel, think about, one, know it and understand it well yourself. Believe it in your heart. Be passionate about yourself. But you think in there's broad, redemptive outlines of the gospel. If you're not familiar with them, any of them, please, we can talk afterward and we can help walk through them. But they're like God, man, sin, salvation, or God, man, Christ, response. And some people, you know, like creation, fall, redemption, consummation. And it ought to be very natural for us to just to say things that pick up on various points of this in different conversations about, I am so grateful to God right now. If it wasn't for Him, I don't know how I could get through this right now. And you're bringing up just a little bit about response to God, faith, dependence on Him. And secondly, you're kind of putting it on the table. This is how I think about my evangelism most of the time. It's like I'm putting things out there when I'm in a conversation with someone and then seeing if they'll pick them up. Yeah? What do you think? Yeah? And depending on the conversation, Gene, this very much relates to yours, on how hard I kind of, hey, you know, did you see it? Sometimes I just put it out there. Okay, no, they weren't interested, and there's no rhyme or reason. Kind of be sensitive to the moment and what God would have happen in that moment and how practical. So taking little aspects and then have a vision for I explain the gospel over several conversations, over a relationship. In this conversation, I'm able to bring up a little bit about God. And very easy to bring up stuff about sin. The news, you talk about the news, it's very easy to talk about sin and the fall. All right, something is wrong, and we can just make little parallels. It ought to be natural for us. If it's not, we need to think about it and fight for it. Why not? Very helpful. I mean, like if you're taking any notes at all, the only thing you should write down is look up Pastor David Platt's sermon series, and it's called Threads. And he says this whole point is over about 6 sermons. They are excellent. Of how to, the idea of threads, weave aspects of the gospel into everyday conversation, and over time have explained the whole gospel, have evangelized. It is some of the most helpful stuff I've ever listened to. Think in terms of, again, in terms of making a disciple, we don't always know the moment of conversion, so we're just trying to move people along. Think of people in terms of being from negative 10, from I hate God in every possible way, to 10, you know, Jonathan Edwards, okay? And you're just trying to help move people along. Maybe in this conversation, I can take them from a -6 to a -5. I don't know. Maybe so. You know? And it's the same way in conversations with me, I hope. Move me along, brothers, sisters. Move me along in this spectrum. And so evangelistic conversations aren't all too different from all good conversations. 2 weeks ago. Skip it. Evangelism isn't persuading people to become Calvinist. It just means you're winning people to Christ, not your particular brand of Christianity. Spurgeon,
We would do a great deal to make a paedobaptist, someone who baptizes infants, into a Baptist, someone who baptizes believers. For we value our Lord's ordinances. We would labor earnestly to raise a believer in salvation by free will into a believer in salvation by grace. For we long to see all religious teaching built upon the solid rock of truth and not upon the sand of imagination. But at the same time, our grand object is not the revision of opinions, but the regeneration of natures. We would bring men to Christ and not to our own particular views of Christianity. Our first care must be the sheep should be gathered to the great shepherd. There will be time enough afterwards to secure them for our various folds. To make a proselyte is a suitable labor for a Pharisee. To beget men unto God is the honorable aim of ministers of Christ. Good stuff. Evangelism is not doctrine exams. And then, lastly, evangelism is not convenient. Okay? This is total overlap with Bible study from several months ago on Christian community and doing being the church, having two families, biological family and spiritual family, is not convenient. Right? It is hard work. You must intentionally plan. You must be flexible, willing to put things off so that we can love each other and so that we can stop and help the person on the side of the road who looks to be working on their car and whatever. Loving people is not convenient by definition. It's like, what did you say this morning? Being friends with people who, being patient with people who don't irritate you is not being patient, right? Loving someone when it's really easy and convenient and it doesn't cost me any sacrifice at all. It's not much love. Evangelism is not convenient, and we'll end it there. What is evangelism? Quote, Grace Heritage Church statement. True evangelism is the overflow of our delight in God toward the world. It is our passion, our privilege, and our responsibility to spread what we love most through all legitimate means. We long to see those who do not treasure God now, whether in Auburn, the United States, or among the unreached peoples of the world, to come to know the true joy that is only found in Christ. We have supreme confidence in our sovereign God as we pray and share the gospel that He can and will turn rebels into worshipers, even through our weak and flawed efforts. Amen. Let me pray for us. God in heaven, we love you. Thank you. Wired it up so that the news about you and the news about what you decided to do on earth, coming as a man so that you could die for us in our place, you'd ordain that that message would be spread by forgiven sinners. And so, God, we thank you for the privilege and we pray for help because it is hard and we mess up a lot, but it's exciting. So stir that passion up in us. And then bless it. We know all the efforts, all the planning. If we did every Bible study on how to evangelize well and we strategize, though that would be a good thing, it can't do anything unless you bless and you cause dead people to live. So Holy Spirit, please cause that work to follow the words that we bring to people who don't know you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive.